Did you know the Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin? Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover who was their best mentor, what's a mistake they made that changed their approach, and how do they find their next great idea? Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Mater Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Minister Pascal Donoghue, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Great to see you in person as well.
Yeah, it's good to have you in studio here. Now, we want to talk about the budget, but the story du jour, the topic du jour is reopening. And we've heard from Ronan Glynn, Dr. Mary Favier. We've heard from Dr. Colm Henry. We've heard from the Taoiseach. We heard from the Taoiseach yesterday. There are some caveats about a full reopening. What's the story?
Well, it's always been the case that as we get ready to make another decision about the opening of our economy, we have to see where we are with the disease. And while we have made gigantic progress in Ireland across this year in reducing the spread of disease, it has now stabilised at a higher level than we would have hoped for. And there are some signs of concern. What I want to avoid is being in a situation that the progress that we've made with reopening the economy, that we have to reverse our current level of progress. So NEFID are going to be meeting early next week. They'll advise the government and we'll make a decision on the matter on Tuesday.
Do you think, though, it's about human behaviour more than anything else? Because anecdotally, you can see you go into shops, not everyone hand sanitises. Sometimes the machines, the sanitising machines are empty now. You know, the same rigour is not being applied.
It's always been a combination of a few things. It's the nature of the disease and then the kind of engagement, the kind of activity we have in our society. I still think overall the adherence and compliance with our public health regulations on the whole is good. But on the other hand, there can be little doubt, because we're all human, that the longer it goes on, our focus goes elsewhere. And what we need to do now is, with the state of the disease at the moment, we have to ensure that we don't step back from where we are at the moment. And that may mean further decision is early next week.
I mean, even NEFID see this as a bit of a puzzler, you know, high vaccination rates and increasing rates of infection.
And what we have learned from battling this disease now for so long is that it is unknowable and inherently unpredictable. It may take some time before we can exactly understand what is happening. It may be to do with, you're right, the level of engagement, the way we engage with each other as a society, combined with the fact that the disease is still really, really infectious. But there are questions for another day, maybe questions, maybe even for another year. What really matters to me at the moment is that the progress that we have made in our current level of opening, that we don't have to reverse that. And as you well know, we are coming into a period as we approach, later in the year and early next year, which are traditionally very difficult for our hospitals anyway. And our hospitals are already really busy. And that's going to be a factor in reopening anymore.
Yeah, and we do have the flu season coming upon us and the flu vaccine is available. What about boosters? We hear from the Taoiseach, I think last night, suggesting that boosters could be on the way for a wider cohort, but we're waiting for NIAC to give the nod. I mean, NIAC have already given the nod in the sense that for the over 80s, for those vulnerable over 65 in nursing homes, it's fine, it's safe. So if you like, what's keeping them?
Well, there may well be a case for going further than that. We have here in Ireland shown two things. The first one is that we can vaccinate at scale and we can do that quickly. And the second thing, and this is entirely due to your listeners and our country overall, the willingness of our country to get vaccinated and get vaccinated quickly. And that may mean that as we move into a little later in the year, we may have to do more in vaccination than would otherwise have been the case.
You set money aside, a contingency, did you not, in the budget? And when I saw that, I was thinking, does Pascal Donoghue know something they're not telling us about the numbers and about the underlying causes put this money aside?
So what I know is, I think, something that most of our country knows by now. I will never forget the few weeks of last year's budget, where we put together a frame of the budget To get ready for the fact that we may have to lock down our economy again. We may have to make further tough decisions. And I remember being in your studio a year ago, Pat, and we were talking about how big last year's budget was. And you were asking all kinds of questions about, can we afford this? The reality is that by June of this year, all of the funds that I had set aside in last year's budget were all gone.
Yeah.
And that just demonstrated the need for me that even with our better outlook, you have to set something aside. Because while I'm really confident we can avoid the challenges of this year, I really believe we can. We can avoid repeating what we went through this year. I still learned that we never really know quite what is around the corner and best be ready for it.
Do you anticipate a huge return to the office next week? Like on Friday is the 22nd, but the following Monday?
I think that's a little
Tuesday, rather. Yeah.
I think that's a little less likely at the moment, though we will have to make a final decision on that early next week, because we owe it to employers and we owe it to those who are considering coming back to the office to give clarity on it. We do know that when we go through big changes in mobility and activity within our society, it affects where we are with the disease. The most recent triggers of that are the return to school, the return to college, and we're going to really look at that carefully next week.
Now, the budget itself, there are always criticisms. One of the, I suppose, the most prevalent ones was that you did a little bit for everybody kind of thing. There was no heavy penalties on any particular sector, but no great big idea, for example, for renters or childcare. The things that, you know, what Leo used to call the people who got up early in the morning and worked and paid their taxes and so on, little in it for them.
We had a 560 million euro personal tax package as our country is coming out of a pandemic. We increased the rate at which people would begin to pay the higher rate of income tax by 1500 euro. We changed our tax credits for anybody who pays income tax in the country, meaning that for most who pay income tax, they will from the 1st of January see a change in their take home pay of around 400 euro. This is after us coming out of a pandemic. But the premise of your question, I think, is still fair and still right. We're borrowing an awful lot less for this year and next year than I thought we would have to. It's just over 20 billion euro. We thought it'd be well over 30 billion euro. We're borrowing a lot less, but we're still borrowing an awful lot. And we do need to get the balance
you
right.
You want to get to the point where you're not borrowing for current expenditure anymore. That's the point. And if you're going to borrow, you're going to borrow for capital expenditure, which in theory generates economic activity, which brings its rewards.
And your viewer, your listeners will know the difference between current and capital expenditure. Current is paying for our teachers, our public services every day. Capital is paying to build new houses, build new public transport. And you're right. So I said that by 2023, I don't want to be borrowing to pay for what we have to do every day as a country. In our budget on Tuesday, I confirmed that we're bringing that forward by a full year. We're going to reach that point next year. And with everything that is going on in the world, with all of the strains and challenges we can see happening around us at the moment, that's a safe place for Ireland to be.
The big sector which really is suffering are those renters who are paying an awful lot of money. You know, for a two-bedroom apartment, it could be two grand in Dublin city centre, which if two people are sharing, it's a grand apiece. If two couples are sharing, it's 500 apiece. But still, it's excessive amounts of money. Nothing really in it for them. Nothing, no light on the horizon that suggests that there'll be an ample supply which will bring prices tumbling down.
So we're in our budget, there's over 3.5 billion euro, which is an overall budget that's 40% bigger than where we were in 2008. The biggest housing budget we've ever had, which is all about trying to deliver more homes for next year. Our housing output for this year has recovered a lot better than I thought it would, but we want to and will build around 30,000 homes next year, which is all about increasing the supply of homes.
To be truthful, still a bottleneck, though.
To be truthful, Pat, though, you put it to me, is rent going to begin to tumble down? Our house price is going to begin to tumble down next year. In truth, any change in relation to it is going to take time. It is going to happen gradually across the year. Mm. But we had our construction sector closed for an awful long time due to the disease. And the only way we will begin to bring down rent levels and the price of homes is by building more. And we're going all out to do it while maintaining Help to Buy and why bringing in a zoned land tax to try to change how land is used in Ireland.
Even developers might say to you, yeah, you can tax us for these unzoned lands, but we don't have the workforce, perhaps, to actually get building. What do you say to them then? You're taxing me for something I can't do.
Well, we still have nearly 100,000 people on the pandemic unemployment payment, but thank God that has come down by over nearly 400,000 sure. this year alone.
So who are those people? They're not all musicians and artists.
Well, actually, if you have a look at who it is at the moment, there's still a reasonably broad spectrum of people on the pandemic unemployment payment, reflecting different parts of our economy. So we need to get all those people back to work. They want to go back to work. We have to get them back to work. And I would hope as we move through November and December, we'll continue to see that number coming down, leading to more people going back into parts of our economy that need them at work.
Yeah, we know that the PUP will stop eventually in February, is it? So that'll be the end of it.
There's two more reductions planned. The next reduction is planned for November, which is a further reduction of €50. With the final reduction planned at the start of February.
Now, I quoted Dermot Desmond to the Thonaisty yesterday because it was so stark. What he was saying is that these investment funds are laughing at our housing policy. The idea they get to either buy or build huge developments, they lease them to the councils, and the councils never own them. And it's a nice little earner with the, you know, given that you can make no money by putting your money in a bank, and they're making, you know, maybe over 10%. On their investments. Well, they're laughing at us, you know.
So implicit in that letter was he wants the state to do more and he believes the state should be building more homes. Yeah. But that's what's happening. The state, through local authorities, will be the largest builder of homes in Ireland this year and probably again next year. We are going to be building between 6,000 to 9,000 homes directly ourselves, through local authorities, through approved housing bodies. And I guess the question that you put to me regarding where are we going to get the people to do all this work is really relevant for where we are now with housing. The government is building more and more homes directly. But while we are building those homes, it's also the case that we can't build every home in the country. We only have a small number of banks that are going to be present in Ireland for the foreseeable future. We need the savings from elsewhere in the world to help us build those homes. And that's what these funds play a role in doing.
Now, what about the European Investment Bank? Is there a problem with local councils going directly, getting huge tranches of money and just getting building at speed?
Well, the European Investment Bank does play an active role in Ireland. But really, the first port of call to local authorities is the Exchequer and the work that the government does. And this is what is happening. You know, I would look at the work that Dublin City Council is doing. For example, I would look at new housing projects that are going to be complete on Dominic Street. I would look at the work they're doing or planning to do in Constitution Hill and Phibsborough. This is the kind of work that local authorities are now directly doing, where they're directly building homes themselves, funded by the government, which is the way it should be. And this is what's happening.
In your budget speech, I heard you mention the banks that are departing these shores and you're not going to subject them to the bank levy. I was wondering why not. I mean, they're abandoning ship. Let's give them a sharp farewell.
Because they're going, they're leaving. That exit will be more apparent in the second half of the year and while they are leaving, they are going to be engaged in a huge process of transferring or encouraging the transfer of their existing customers onto the banks that are remaining. And given that they are leaving and are not going to be active in the Irish market, or to be more precise, the level of activity they're going to be engaging in a new activity will be declining.
Will they part pay then the levy? You know, if they leave in April, they pay 4 months. If they leave in June, they pay 6 months.
Not across next year. And the reason for that is their focus is going to be on managing the exit of customers from their businesses. I wish these banks were not leaving. I wish we were in a situation where we could continue to have more banks here in Ireland. And what my focus is going to be on now is how we can support the existing banks that we have to try to bring back some of the competition that having more banks
now,
not
would
one happen.
Of the reasons they don't come in is because of the difficulty of repossessing. If someone defaults on their mortgage, it can take years. There are people who are 10 years without paying a bob to their banks, and the banks are saying, well, why would we go into a market where you have to jump through all sorts of legal hoops to get back at the property upon which you have lent, which is the bank's property until the mortgage is paid up? Are we going to do anything to reform that?
Well, there's now a very small number of people who are engaged in the kind of behaviour that you've just said there, Pat. I mean, it is the case that we place a very high value on protecting the family home and protecting the home that people work hard to pay the mortgage on. I've no plans to change that. We do have a balance where we try to protect people if they get into a very vulnerable situation. They can already be situations of very high level of stress and anxiety. And that, if that does happen, we do try to give protection to them in those situations. I'm not planning to change that. Yes, there are always consequences to every policy decision that you would make, and there are consequences to that decision. But on the other hand, I would hope that we're in a situation that we have an economy here in Ireland that we believe can grow well in comparison to many other countries across the world, potential for 400,000 jobs to be replaced this year and next, are the kind of things that will lead to more banking activity anyway.
Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, the eternal optimist, as he described himself.
I don't think I said eternal, but I did say optimist.
All right, Pascal Donoghue, thank you very much for joining us.